You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show at the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, the number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any new callers today, but what we do have for you fine folks is Kyle from Madison.
Hey, what's up, Brian? It's Kyle from Madison. How are you?
Good.
So, listening to After Dark here, and a couple things. Garrett from Southern Illinois was just talking about, in Brazil, what a great marketing opportunity this is for the Packers. And, man, So I've been on the other end of this. Like I've said many times, like, I'm an international soccer fan, but it's probably similar for people in Brazil than it was for me in the early 1990s. Because it wasn't until we had our World Cup in the U.S. in, like, 94 or something, where we actually started getting some, I don't know, in 2000, I think, is when teams finally started coming to play here for exhibition. We've never had that I know of, an actual in-season game. But that, you know, those first teams that came over really captivated my imagination. I certainly bought jerseys, things like that. Those were the first teams I learned. And I followed some of those teams until the players I fell in love with retired or moved on. And so here, you know, the Packers are such a young team. So when you're opening a market, you know, this is going to be an introduction for the majority, I would think, of people that watch the game. This will be an introduction to the Packers and their young players. So not only do you have a huge marketing opportunity, but you have a long-term marketing thing. You know, if people fall in love with Jordan Love and he plays for 50 years, I mean, the Packers are going to be A1 or, you know, 1A or 2A probably in Brazil for 15 years. So it's a huge opportunity. And actually how well we play that week one, I mean, probably has a long-term effect on the dollars and cents of the team, to be honest. I know that's not really what the goal is, but, if the Packers can come out and display a really cool brand of football, it's going to be a huge marketing tool. Sometimes those early games can be a little bit not great. We've been all right lately in that department. Anyway, I just want to say that. Also, it's a week from today for the draft. So I'm hoping you're going to let us know what the details are for submitting our picks for that contest sometime soon. And then also, yeah, man, if somebody starts a GoFundMe for Pedro, like, I don't know what the ticket prices will be like because I don't know what the exchange rate situation is there, but I mean, if like 25 of us or 30 of us gave $10, I mean, I'd be down. So let me know. All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah, well, as has been established, I'm hoping you've heard, there is a form that you can fill out. Once you fill out that form, you'll be entered to win a $125 gift card to Fogo, the Brazilian steakhouse. And Pedro has definitely been on notice. If he needs anything, he knows where to reach out. We got his back. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Potentially Jordan Love could be like Brett Favre was to so many Packer fans my age. You know, I mean, this was your introduction to the Packers. These were your glorious moments, you know. The memories, your childhood memories or your first memories of the Packers were Jordan Love tearing people up, you know. So yeah, I'm excited and hoping for that to be a thing.
Hey, Ryan, Kyle again. What do you know? A couple hours later and I listen to your next podcast and you were giving out information about the draft contest. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Now I'm going to really have to take this seriously because I want me some Brazilian steakhouse, man. Let's go. That sounds great. So I'll be looking for your information on that. Listening to the Thresholds podcast you did makes me think of blackjack. When I was younger and still gamble, I mean, now my gambling is limited to about $100 a year of, like, during football season.
I don't do any of the stuff. Maybe if I go on vacation or something, I'll have a couple $100 for a slot or two. But you just play blackjack, right? And there's all these rules, if you want to follow them, to statistically give you the best chance. You're never going to beat the house statistically.
It's a whole
give
chart,
you the best chance, right? Like, you should hit on this. You should double down on this, right? You should all the different rules. And if you do those things, it's supposed to give you the best chance of, you know, give you the best odds, at least.
Yep.
And I kind of view it that way a little bit when you're talking, you know, about these thresholds. The thing is, though, like, I know very few people. Like, a lot of people that play blackjack, like, they know all these things. But I know very few people that are consistent enough in their, like, beholdenness to that philosophy that they don't deviate. And as soon as you deviate, it pretty much derails your statistical advantages. But just the same, I mean, if you ever play blackjack, like, there are times where you're like, no, I know they're going to have 20 here. Or I feel like this is going to come up. Or, you know, like, it's really hard to just blindly bet that, which is what you're supposed to do. It's probably why I was only mediocre at blackjack. So I do kind of feel like that's how it is for general managers, too. Like, sometimes maybe you don't double on that, or sometimes maybe you double when you shouldn't. Even if that isn't giving you the best statistical chance, I think you do have to act on gut feelings a little bit. As a general manager, just like you do in gambling or anything else. But, I don't know. Anyway, that was just the feeling I got when you were describing it as blackjack and kind of, you know, the chances of it. I mean, the thing is, though, like, football is so subjective. Anything with human beings beyond just cards, that who really knows? But anyway, thanks for the info. Awesome pod today. We'll talk at you.
Well, yeah, and I tend to think they are relatively rigid. My point was less to do with the fact that, you know, they have these sort of parameters, but they may violate them or whatever. It's more to do with the fact that we don't know what the parameters are. You know, when we listen to Brian Gutekunst, like, they've set their board, and now it's like an emotionless process of we know exactly what to do in each situation. You know, as the picks come off the board, everybody in the room knows exactly what to do. It's not like, oh man, what's he going to do? You never know. There's a process, and they're going to follow that process. And as far as, you know, occasionally you go a little wild with the, you know, well, I can't even think of the word we're using here, the limits or whatever thing. No, because the bottom line is they're either on the board or they're off the board. You know, I mean, if they're not thresholds is the word. If they're not within the thresholds, they're just going to take them off the board. So, you know, that was more my point, is we don't know what the thresholds are. Now, to your point, there is certainly like that gray area where a lot of people think it's outside of the thresholds and then we violate the threshold. No, it's just not outside of the thresholds, but it may be slightly outside of the comfort zone slash, you know, not generally what the Packers or anybody else for that matter would be comfortable with. But, you know, like Jaden Reed, you know, did they violate their thresholds? Did they violate this or that? No, they didn't. They put him on the board exactly where they felt he should be. And then they drafted him where they felt he was a good value. It wasn't like, you know, they've got these thresholds set up and Gutekunst is like, I don't know, man, I just got a feeling. It's like, no. Jaden Reed, his play is such that when you factor in all the other variables, he ended up right where he was. So I think it's more of a misunderstanding on our side than their side. I think they're very comfortable with everything and where it is. I don't think there's any sort of violations or crazy wild swings or anything like that. I think everything goes into the process. They set their board, and once the board is set, they just go down the line and they pick players according to their process. It becomes very robotic at that point. And I do think they tend to be relatively rigid with that. I mean, you know, again, listen to Brian Gutekunst talk. You know, do you get super stressed out or what? He's like, no, it's like, you know, once the board is set, you kind of just do what the board says to do. You know, and if there's a pile of guys that are still a good value, you trade back. And you trade back and picks up some more picks. And, you know, as some players come off, then that's why they had the double trade back in the second round. One of the questioners said something to the effect of, you know, you traded back twice, but you could have lost Jaden Reed. Did you think about that? Like, they did lose Jaden Reed, in a sense. They lost a bunch of Jaden Reeds. That was the whole point. They had a pile of guys that they liked as much as Jaden Reed, so they traded back. And then once that pick came, they still had a pile of Jaden Reeds, and they traded back again. And then as those players came off, and Jaden Reed was the one left, or one of two, or whatever, and they felt like they didn't really want to trade back anymore for risk of possibly not having anybody in our pile left, they basically took what was left over, and they took Jaden Reed. If it's the other way around, where we're, you know, five picks away and we got one guy left, we're going to try to come up and get that guy. But otherwise, it's just right down the line, boom, 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 boom. We know exactly what to do. Very rigid, very, you know, whatever. But you know, I think from the outside looking in is where things get crazy. Like, oh man, they went way outside of this and all. No, they didn't. They're just following. That's why if you look in the draft room, they're all just kind of sitting around. Like, you don't see people like sweating, you know, like undoing their tie, like huffing and puffing and working the phones and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Although trades are, he said, when things get a little bit dicey, or stressful. But otherwise, they're just sitting around like yucking it up. They don't give a crap. They're just waiting for their turn. And they look at the board and go, okay, give me that guy. Simple enough. Overstating it slightly, but more or less, you know.
Hey, this is Pierre from Texas.
Hey.
And I don't know if you saw the Andre Dillard signing. Do you think this affects our draft needs or just makes it easier for best player available? I can't believe any of people are asking this, but that's crazy. They signed a former first-round tackle. Wild. Have a good night. Bye. Go back up.
Yeah, I think the Andre Dillard thing is just we need bodies, we need competition, and it just kind of provides a little bit of leeway. You know, does he alleviate our need for like a first round tackle? No, I mean, he's not good enough to be that, but it's more bodies that are going to be in there when the time comes to compete, and we'll see where things fall, but it just gives us a little bit of breathing room so that we don't feel the need to, we got to come away with two or three or four offensive linemen or whatever in the draft. Just gives us a little bit of breathing room, I think. And it's obviously somebody that they would like to bring in and work with, you know, certainly not a great sign up to this point. As I've mentioned before, you know, he's a first-round pick who is now on his third team. I mean, that's a pretty terrible sign.
What up, Pack Daddy?
What up?
Been a while since I called in.
Going on?
Man, we got Andre Dillard. I remember the draft show was like, this has been like five drafts ago. Didn't you like Andre Dillard? Didn't we want Andre Dillard? Or he was like
probably, yeah.
I don't know. I remember you talking about him, but I forget. I think he was getting drafted a little bit too early for the Packers, but I don't know. I'll listen to the show and see what your thoughts are. Let's go Pack.
And again, you know, it's hard to not get excited because you know there's something in there somewhere, but if anybody believed in it, he wouldn't be getting passed around like he is. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously people are watching him and just going, this is brutal. Like, this is really bad. And there's not a high level of optimism that this is easily fixable. So, you know, the Packers are not really in a position where they're going to panic. They're going to bring him in. They're going to, you know, use their coaching staff. They got really good coaches, great head coach, good offensive line guys, you know, the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. They're going to get their hands on him. They're going to see if he can do simple things that they're asking and see if maybe he can kind of turn a corner. But, I mean, they're not going to give him much time, I don't think. Either you come in and you do it or you can't and goodbye. But obviously they would love if he could at least prove that he can be, you know, a backup caliber tackle, which at this point, it's not going to take very much, depending on how the draft goes, for him to prove he can be a backup because we don't really have backup tackles right now. All right, why don't we take a little break and we'll be back momentarily.
What's up, Ryan? This is Chasten from Idaho. Hope you're having a good day.
What's up?
I have two very different questions from each other.
Okay.
First is, I noticed in the last couple drafts, there seemed to be a tendency, I feel like Goody really likes to get those guys who had maybe a down last year, but the year right before that was a really good year. Like, they've proven it before. Like, he trusts that they have the potential to prove it again, almost like they're like a bargain guy to get. Like, there was, like, multiple of those guys last year. Now, I'm wondering...
And I think bargain is the right way to put it, because this is exactly an example of what I've been talking about, where it appears as though the Packers like it, almost as if they're targeting it, but really they're not. It's probably less to do with the Packers desiring it and more to do with other teams maybe downgrading it more so than the Packers do. In other words, teams will look at their upside based on 2 years ago and go, yeah, but last year was bad, therefore I don't like it. And so they're going to downgrade them, and the Packers downgrade them less. And so these guys just keep falling to them, and the Packers are like, this is crazy. Like, all these really good football players, did you watch them in 2022? You know? And it honestly, it worked out for the Packers. I mean, that could potentially be a reason why their draft classes have been doing so well these past couple years, because these really good football players are falling because other teams are discounting them too much, and they're falling right into the Packers' hands. And we'll see if that gets adjusted, where other teams are like, all right, we got to stop downgrading these guys so much and letting them fall into the Packers' arms. But yeah, I think that is sort of the right way to phrase it, that it was sort of a discount. That, you know, they're good football players that the Packers are being able to pick up because everybody else just didn't like him. Because the most recent data, film, information was, this guy struggled and it scares the crap out of me.
I'm wondering if you are aware of any guys that would maybe fit that mold or pattern that's in this year's draft class, maybe at a position of need or not. I don't know, however you want to take that question. My second question is, who is the dude from this draft that you are just enamored watching their highlights? So, like, maybe it's not even like you think we're going to get him or even have a chance of getting him or even maybe not our mold, but who's the guy that, like, man, I freaking love watching that dude. For me, it's Ladd McConkey. That dude is, he is unreal. He is so cool to watch. Just curious who that guy is for you. Thanks.
All right. Well, there are quite a few that I could list off that kind of gave me that jaw drop feeling. One was Chop Robinson. And then before that was Braylon Trice. You guys know how I feel about Jonathan Brooks. Also Ray Davis and Dylan Lauby at running back. I'm trying to think. I don't want to overstate it. I mean, there's been a lot of guys that I've appreciated. I don't know. I mean, honestly, the one that was probably the, and this was a while ago, but Braylon Trice would be the one that really just, like, holy crap. But, I mean, there's been plenty of guys that I've certainly liked. You know, you look at the safeties that I just watched again yesterday or whatever day that was. There were a lot that, you know, nobody was a jaw drop necessarily, but there were a lot of guys that I really appreciated. You know, Cole Bishop I thought was great. Thought he would be a really solid addition. You know, linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, Tommy Eichenberg, Trevin Wallace, Jalen Ford. I do have to go back and watch the wide receivers again, though. That was a very long time ago, the last time I went through there. I don't remember anybody necessarily lighting my hair on fire, but I know a lot of people are losing it. JJ has been talking about it for 2 months straight. We've had a ton of people talking about Ladd McConkey. I couldn't remember. I could try to see in my notes if I took any notes about him, but doesn't look like it. But I know a lot of people have been popping off about Ladd. And then as far as your first question, I know there have been several. I'm trying to think off the top of my head without just arbitrarily going through a bunch of prospects on PFF. But I cannot think off the top of my head who those guys are. But it will be interesting to see, you know, as the draft progresses, you know, probably not early rounds. I'm guessing early rounds, you're not looking for guys that sucked this past year. But it will be interesting as you get into, you know, rounds 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, if you start to see the Packers again with that trend of finding guys that maybe had great 2022s, but not so much 2023s.
Hey, Ryan, Dennis from California.
Yo.
It's been about 12 hours since the Andre Dillard signing for me, and processing and thinking about it. Yeah, he's probably the Josh Neisman replacement, right, depending on what happens, because I don't... Yeah, I know they like Zach Tom, and there's rumors he might go to center. Who knows about Rob Domofsky? He's a loser, right? But, you know, so Zach Tom might still be the right tackle this year, and then once Myers is on, it might be the shift around, right? But, yeah, I think Dillard is probably the Josh Neisman replacement as the swing tackle, but the thing that is getting missed is this is not a move for a position. This is a move for a draft philosophy, right? Look at 2019 is a really good example. You shore up your holes, and then you take your swing on future development. So I think we might see a first or second round tackle because, for example, they signed Preston Smith and Zadarius Smith, and then they drafted Rashawn Gary. They signed Adrian Amos, and then they drafted Darnell Savage, right? So this might be a signal that, yeah, this is our temporary stopgap to hold the floor, and then they're committed to drafting somebody, you know, maybe first, second, third, right, as their developmental tackle prospect. So that's what I'm thinking, right? I love our philosophy as a team. These guys always know what they're doing, super smart. They're not like other teams like the Bears that trade away their quarterback so they can bring in this, this what seems mentally on the outside anyways, right? Doesn't seem very mentally tough. They're going to drop him into a bad situation instead of having somebody that could be the the stopgap, right? So I'm talking about the Bears. I'm happy we're the Packers. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, my assumption is this has more to do with giving them the freedom to draft however they feel is best and less to do with, you know, dissuading them from drafting a tackle. In other words, we're good, so we're less likely to do it. No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. It's just preventing them from feeling some compulsion to do it.
Hey, Ryan, it's Seth. Hey. Hopefully you can hear me all right. I'm driving and my dog's panting in the air, but
so far, so good.
Just had a few quick things I wanted to go through. First, I'm listening to your pod a couple days ago. I'm a little behind. But on Cooper DeJean, I'm pretty sure it is DeJean, not DeJean. So the D-E is kind of like duh, so DeJean.
He spells it D-E-E in the draft guide, DeJean.
And I say that because I live in Iowa, and I know he's not from Iowa, but we have a lot of names that start with D-E, and I can't think of any that are not just pronounced duh. So, like,
well, I mean, so what he does is he, in the Dane Brugler draft guide, he spells a lot of these phonetically so that you can actually see how you're supposed to pronounce it, which is why I've been struggling so much because I've been assuming a lot, and then he puts it in there. Actually, is it still up? Let me just make sure that that's right. I cannot imagine that I would call him D-Gene if, here we go, if it was just D-E like it is actually. Yeah, so it's spelled phonetically, capital D-E-E, so that's what the emphasis is, and then lowercase J-E-A-N. D-E-E as in D, and that's where the emphasis is, so D-Gene, not D-Gene, with the emphasis on gene or gene, and it's not duh as in D-U-H, which is usually how you would spell that phonetically if you wanted to pronounce it, you know, Dajean or Dajean. It would be D-U-H and said it's D-E-E. So he has it, according to him, it's D-Gene.
Yeah, Dajean. That was one. I could be wrong. I don't know the guy, but if it makes me feel any better, you don't have to try to relearn how to say that. Second thing is I keep hearing some people, Packers people, talk about, like, don't rule out the Packers taking a quarterback early. They're always best talent available. And I'm sorry, but that is, they're like, look at Jordan Love. But I'm sorry, that take is so wrong in my opinion.
Jordan Love has nothing to do. I mean, the Packers needed to take a quarterback when they took Jordan Love. So that's a weak argument.
Jordan Love was taken because we knew Rodgers.
Right.
One, he was on a downslope when we took Jordan Love. He didn't start winning MVPs again until after that, which, in my opinion alone, made the Jordan Love draft did good. And now, of course, Jordan Love goes, it's even better. But anyways, when we took Rodgers, we knew Favre was towards the end. When we took Love, we knew Rodgers was towards the end. We haven't taken first-round talent or even second, third round quarterbacks, to my knowledge.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence that we keep drafting first round quarterbacks exactly when we need them. And we never do it when we don't need them. That's not a coincidence. The bottom line is, and I've said this many times, maybe not recently, I don't know if I've said it in this draft cycle, there's drafting for need, and then there's drafting for, you know, best player available. There is no purism in that. Nobody is a purist. It's a spectrum. And teams just happen to fall further to one side of the spectrum than the other. And the Packers tend to lean a little heavier toward need, or excuse me, toward best player than need. But even that is manipulatable. You know what I think they would do if the best player on the available on the board is a quarterback, which I think is entirely possible. You know what they're going to do? They're going to trade that pick to somebody else. They're going to probably trade out of the first round, get into the second round, get a bunch of picks. That's what I think they're going to do if quarterback is the best player available on their board. They're going to give that pick to another team that has quarterback, best player available on the board, and needs a quarterback, which in no way violates best player available at all.
Unless we knew that our quarterback was maybe on the way out.
And by the way, it's not just quarterback. Did you notice how we always seem to draft pretty heavily where we have needs? You know, I mean, we talk about this all the time where the Packers triple up where they have needs, right? We needed a running back. We tripled up. We needed wide receivers. We tripled up. If you're doing best player available, how does that keep happening? That makes no sense. Well, of course it makes sense, because best player available from a purist sense is incorrect. Not only is it not done in a purist way, but the idea of a draft board that is structured in such a way that is just linear, where there is one guy at the top, is also flawed. There's a pile of people that you can choose from, and you're going to lean toward the guy that is at a position of need, generally speaking. Or you can trade the pick. The Packers very regularly, as a team that doesn't draft for need, when you look at their draft picks, it looks exactly like a team that's drafting for need. And there's a reason for that. It's not just some magical coincidence.
And so I just think that's a bad take. And you didn't have that take to my knowledge, but I've heard a lot of people saying that, and it just drives me crazy. So anyways, that was one take. I think there's not a chance. If I could bet my entire 401k that the Packers don't take a quarterback in the first three rounds, I would.
I don't know if I would say first three. I would say it's unlikely. Not going to happen in the first round. I'd be pretty shocked if it happened in the second round. Third round, I mean, would they be willing to do it? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I'm certainly not going to say it's impossible, but I think that that is being, like everything, when it's taken to the extremes, it's just wrong. And best player available taken to its fullest extreme is incorrect. It's just wrong. It does make sense. I mean, in fact, you would almost expect it. If it was just purely best player available, especially if you take positional value into account, you would almost expect the Packers to take. I mean, when you look at, you know, Bo Nix and Penix being kind of late first, early second guys, but again, look at the value of quarterbacks. They should be near the top of everybody's list. Why is nobody talking about that? Because everybody fully understands that you don't just take it to the farthest extremes. There are other considerations and other things at play. And yes, the guys that we have on the team already are a consideration.
I don't even care. I don't care what the odds are on that. I'll take the small winnings. But anyways, what else did I have for you? I had something good. No, I'm forgetting it. Hang on. Give me a second. Dang, I'm going to lose it. I'll call back if I remember. All right.
All right. Well, talk to you later. Nico.
Ryan, how the heck are you doing? This is Nico.
Pretty good.
Firing up the Blackstone here, making pack hose. So I was listening to the old Matt Ramage podcast, you know what I mean?
yeah.
They're talking about a lot of stuff, talking about who's going to be the number one receiver, and I was going to call about that, but there's no way that's fitting in 3 minutes. But I had an epiphany. I really did. Oh, what's it about, you say? So,
what's it about?
You know, the Packers are very steeped in tradition. And I noticed that, you know, on some other podcasts I listen to, because you guys do the great jumbo combo podcast now. So for, that's kind of one of the reasons why I used to like watching the old Pat McAfee, is it just reminded me and my dumb friends at home acting stupid and talking about sports, act like we know what we're talking about. Now you guys do that. It's great. But you know what? The Packers, I feel like it's missing something. Hear me out. There's always, you know, the Packers are historic, traditional. They're all about tradition. And I know that much of Wisconsin is steeped in the consumption of beer. I don't know, Matt Attack Hill consuming a beer too. And I realize that when you guys do your little combo podcast, that there's no one, unless they're doing it on the sly and not talking about it, which, you know, whatever, no one really consuming some beers. And I feel like that's part of Packers tradition. So here's what I offer. I offer you, Ryan, my services. Next time you do one of those jumbo deals, you have like 9 faces on the screen, I'll hop on there. I'll put my Packers hate cancer flag in the background. I don't have a huge Packer room. We had to scale down when we moved here, but we're going to scale up soon. Right now, I got my Packers against cancer flag they gave me when I went to the game last year. But I will be that reminder of their heritage. I will consume the beer. Yes, there's a chance I could act stupid occasionally, but think of it this way. You start acting like a bonehead, you could just be like, oh, God. And just have someone pay to bump me off the stream. I still remember that one time when the JJ kept getting booted off. I was like the best day of my life. And so just like JJ, I will take one for the team. I will join your old pod, drink some beers, say dumb things, because I'm good at that. I'm good at those two things. My wife can tell you that. And, just take one for the team and really just bring back that beer drinking tradition. So I'm down. Hope you are. Go, Petco. Look at that sizzle. Oh, that's that pork sizzling on that grill.
Yeah, so we've had my half-Mexican attorney on. And his role essentially was to eat food. That was his shtick. He showed up eating food and just kind of did that in the background. So we could have you on just drinking beer. I think we could do that. I think we can make that work, Nico. That can be a thing. Why don't we take our final break? We'll come back and hear from Jim in Arkansas.
Hey, Ryan. Just want to let you know. Oh, this is Jim from Arkansas.
There we go.
And then just want to let you know, I think it is amazing that you got Fogo Chow to sponsor you. That is awesome. Maybe not sponsor, whatever, but help with the giveaway.
Yeah, very cool.
My wife and I are huge fans of going to restaurants where they just bring you continuous cuts of meat.
Yes.
To keep
I'm also an enthusiast of that.
As long as you would like. they, at Fogo de Chow, are one of the top. We love them. They are awesome. We actually went there just before the Packers-Chiefs game a couple of years ago when Jordan Love made his first start, and we trekked out to Kansas City. We hit up Fogo de Chow right before the game. One thing that you do need to watch out for when you go is don't eat too much of the bread or the salad bar, even though that stuff is great too.
Yeah.
If you eat too much of that Pro stuff, tip. You're not going to get enough meat in.
Right.
So, take that stuff lightly. And after you have finished stuffing your face with as much meat as possible, if there's any way that you can still fit some sort of food batter into your mouth, they have this amazing mango dessert, and I don't even know what it is, but it's some mango dessert. If you order it, they'll know what it is, and I highly recommend it. Again, only if you are actually able to fit anything into your stomach before you leave that building. I also wanted to touch on the thing about Packers and your kids. I was pretty lucky. I've got a 13-year-old and 11-year-old, and since they were babies, I have been teaching them that they will someday grow up to own the Packers.
Sure.
They are both going to have shares of stock at some point after I'm dead. And, I think that that constant barrage of telling them that they are going to be Packers owners really helped them become Packers fans, and I know that's not possible for everyone, but... you know, I don't know how else to do it. I would hate myself if my children were not Packers fans. That would be absolutely devastating. And I hope nobody listening to this ever has to go through that. So good luck to you. Take care, Ryan.
Well, I got over that at some point in my life. I don't know when it happened, but it was pretty devastating at first. I mean, to be fair, there is nobody in my household that is a football fan that is not a Packer fan. There's two groups. There are the men of the house that are psychotic Packer fans, and then the women of the house who could not give any less of a crap. I've got my wife doesn't care, my oldest daughter, my middle daughter, and my youngest daughter. We'll see. The youngest daughter, she's three. We'll see how it goes. But I don't have much of an expectation. Son is a just absolute rabid Packer fan, as I'm sure you know. But, you know, we'll see. There's still time. And anybody can come around. I think a big part of it is just positive association, you know. Not just taking over the house, taking away the TV, telling everybody to be quiet, screaming and ranting and raving, and then being angry when things don't go right. It's about just making it a fun environment. You know, it's how it was when I was a kid. It was, you know, family and extended family coming over and barbecuing and just such a great time. And I want my kids to have those memories when it comes to the Packers. I know, you know, a lot of the people who grew up in Wisconsin that are not Packer fans, it's because of those negative associations. One of my friends born and raised in Wisconsin is a Bears fan, and he did that strictly as a protest because he remembers when he was younger, his uncles would come over and they would never want to do anything with him or with anybody else because they just wanted to watch the Packer game. And so he just was like, well, then I hate the Packers. So try to make sure that Packer games are fun and fun for as many people as possible. We make some good food and hang out, have a good time. If we can go to grandma's house to have a Packer party or have people over here, then definitely want to encourage that because, you know, again, you just want there to be, when they think Packers, they think happy things, not just my dad is a psychopath and just stay away from him when the Packer game's on because everything's going to be awful for the next week if they lose.
Hey, Ron, this is Jersey Mike. So it looks like JJ started some beef with Justin Jones.
Is he?
Oh, that's freaking hilarious. And the only thing that Justin Jones can do is talk crap because, he's useless. He's useless in the NFL. He's useless in real life. The only attack he's got is trying to say that JJ's wife is unhappy and that her ring must be small because he doesn't make a lot of money.
What's going
Guys
on?
Guys like Justin Jones, you know what happens when they leave the NFL? They buy a house or they buy another house or whatever. They buy another sports car that they can't afford because they don't understand how to, you know, leverage their wealth. And then turn around, and in the future, there's some broke homeless dude on the side of a park bench in L.A. So, Justin Jones, if you're listening to this, stay in your freaking lane, man. You're lucky you're not even, like, on a practice squad right now. Crap, you shouldn't be in the NFL. Land your place, dog.
I didn't know any of that was going on, but that's pretty wild. And it is pretty, well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it is pretty silly when these guys get, I don't know. I don't know what JJ was saying. I want to say it, you know, he was out of line. If who knows, maybe JJ was kind of going for the throat too, but yeah, I don't know, man. This is the first you're telling me about this. I don't know anything about this.
Hey Ryan, it's Seth. I remembered my last question from yesterday. I think this is what it was. I wanted to ask, what robot do you use, or, you know, what AI do you use? Do you use ChatGPT? Do you use something else?
Yes.
And second part to this question, see if you can...
I use ChatGPT. The GPT-4 you have to pay for. Facebook actually came out with one that is apparently comparable. I tried it out a little bit. It seems actually pretty solid. So you could check out Facebook's. There is one called Claude that is also very good. Grok on Twitter is not good. It's pretty bad. And then the Google one is the worst. It's just the most useless piece of crap ever. Not only is it just completely biased, but it won't even answer your questions anymore once it came out how biased it was, and they just like completely shut every question down. And it's Google, and it doesn't have live information. It's like the only one that doesn't have connection to live data information. It's just the absolute worst, so do not use that. It's so stupid. So yeah, there's that. And then there's also the music robots. There's the image robots. There's video robots, although they're kind of in the 2 years ago, DALL-E or however you pronounce it, phase, where, you know, 2 years ago, you look at people would type in prompts into that and the images were so bad. They were such garbage. I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, 6 months later, I go and look at it. And I'm like, bro, what the heck is this? So give it another 6 months and the videos will be, actually, they're already fantastic. We just don't have access to it. It's like Sora or something is pumping out unbelievable videos, but, there just haven't been released. Actually, the music ones, it was just a few months ago I was using it, and it wasn't great. I mean, it was pretty cool for what it was, because I hadn't seen anything like it. And now the quality of the music ones, the one that I've been using, is just unbelievable. I mean, I was just on there today listening to music that other people created, and it's fantastic music. I genuinely enjoy it. So those are a handful of the robots that I've been playing with.
Help a brother out over here.
Yeah, I
am trying to figure out how to create like a AI caricature of a picture of our family picture for a present.
Okay.
And have not found one that can do it, but maybe I'm not doing it right. Copilot, Microsoft Copilot, has all these ads showing it. But when you actually try to do it, it says, we can't do that. We have privacy policies in place that prevent us from using your faces. So that doesn't work.
A lot of them are going in that direction. And I think it's, you know, partially privacy. And then also, you know, obviously people are going to be using that for illicit means. So they don't want to have you do it. In fact, it's actually going backwards. It used to be, you know, you could put up a celebrity or whatever and it'll do a great image of them. Now, at least the last time I tried it, it was actually quite poor. And it was a very well-known, it was Denzel Washington. I just did a Denzel and it didn't really even look like him. So I think they're trying to get away from that. So it's going to be tough if what you're trying to do is replicate like your face and your family's face. There is, however, and you do have to pay for Midjourney, but I think the best one that I could think of is Midjourney. They've got this thing where you go to alpha.midjourney.com, and there might be others. It's actually becoming a popular thing. I've seen a few others that do it, and it's a style reference, but, on, you stupid idiot, 404, I think it's Alpha. Anyways, so you can upload pictures and there's three different things you can choose from. But the main one that would matter to you is there's like a facial reference. So you click on that and it'll focus on the face and say, this is what I want the faces to look like. And then there would be like style. So if you upload a picture of, you know, a Picasso painting, then it would be your faces and then a Picasso painting, whatever type of thing. That would be the one thing that I would probably try to mess with. But again, you have to pay for that. I don't know why this isn't working. If you wanted to send me some stuff, I wouldn't want to spend a ton of time, screwing with it. But if you wanted to just send me a picture or something, I could try to mess with it. I don't know. It's not even letting me log in right now. Oh, I think it's cause they just moved it over to the regular Midjourney. So it's just Midjourney now. But yeah, that would be the one that I would try and, probably give you your best shot if you're trying to replicate faces and whatnot. But it's going to be tricky because they don't like doing that. It's not really how these things work, you know. They're kind of like building stuff from scratch. So they work from prompts where you kind of tell it things and then it kind of builds it. So even if you generally, a way it would work, I don't know how this facial reference thing works, but generally is even if you were to provide like a picture, it would create a prompt from the picture and then it would build that back up. So obviously it's not going to look like you. So, I mean, the technology I'm sure is there, it's out there, but whether or not you're going to be able to find easy access to it is going to be the hard part. Because again, they're really concerned about the privacy, the way people are going to use stuff like that. But try Midjourney, man.
So anyways, didn't know if you could help me out there, but also curious which robot you like. I think that's all I got. Talk to you later.
Yep. That would be my recommendation. There's a bunch of other ones out there, and I get so much stuff on Twitter. There's so many different things, and there's updates daily. You know, it's to one thing or another, or somebody's launching a new thing, or there's some investment that this company's starting to get into it or whatever. So I can't hardly keep up with it. But I keep seeing that this is becoming a new thing where they have these references. They got image, style, and prompt references for Midjourney. So that would be the direction I would try. All right, let's do one more. We got Garrett.
Hey, Mac Daddy. It's Garrett from Southern Illinois.
What's up?
What'd I tell you? Free agency. They went and did it. They got another offensive tackle. So haven't listened to any podcasts yet. See what your opinion was on that one. But him being a first-round pick of the Eagles and there being some kind of potential there, they wouldn't have done it. Shows me that the Green Bay sees something in them that potentially be a new backup. Because I honestly think with, you know, Runyon already being gone, Myers potentially being moved maybe to guard and Tom moving to center. Who knows? Maybe Royce is gone. They need some definitely depth at that offensive line. So I just kind of wonder if that's saying that they're going to go a different direction in the first round, but we'll see. But free agency, they always are looking. So hope you have a great weekend and looking forward to draft coming up. 1 week, baby. 1 week. I'm out.
Yeah, and like I've said now, you know, a couple times, I think it's just bodies. It's just competition. It's, you know, we'll bring him in with everybody else to compete when the time comes. But I don't think it moves the needle on draft night. The only thing that I can think on top of what I've already said is they've kind of looked at it and thought tackle's probably not going to be in the cards. You know, when you look at the way the draft is falling out, it would be surprising because there's a billion tackles, especially early on, that they feel like they wouldn't be able to get a tackle. But if they just felt like, you know, it wasn't going to go that direction, then maybe they'd want to try to shore that up or whatever. But, I just think he's a first round pick and they were looking around, you know, they wanted to get a little bit of depth. And although they're probably pretty sure that there's something wrong there, they just want to see it for themselves. You know, they were obviously, this wasn't very long ago. They were scouting the guy. I'm sure they had, you know, relatively early grade on the guy, and sometimes you just got to get your hands on the guy and see what he can do and just see it for yourself that he's no good. And I'm sure they will. I'm fairly confident that's how that's going to pan out. But anyways, I'm gonna get out of here. You guys have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Time to close, yeah. Back of fans we share the night.